June 13th, I buried my brother. I have buried my spouse as well. I have one surviving sibling in California. I haven't seen her for years. And when the funeral director asked me how I was doing, I didn't realize this challenged her heart, but I said, God is good. And I meant that. God is good. We've all had losses. And sometimes when you have a loss, we feel it. Life is real. And God understands that. But sometimes we have a feeling that as Christians, that we're not supposed to live a life of joy. We're supposed to live a life of love, but not a really life of joy. And we forget the fact that Jesus said, I'm coming, you may have life, and you may have it more abundantly. Or you forget the passage in Nehemiah 8, verse 10, where after Israel was challenged by the reading of God's word, and they saw they had sinned, and they were so sad, and they were weeping, and they were challenged, they said, go home, eat the fat, drink the sweet, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And we forget in 1 Thessalonians 5, we're told, rejoice when? Evermore. Or Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, where we're told, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say, rejoice. We're not rejoicing in our circumstances. In fact, sometimes our circumstances can make us somewhat sad. We can always rejoice in the Lord. Our circumstances change, but God never changes. Your future and my future is just as bright as the promise of God we find in this book. And this book is true. I can tell you all that 100 years from now, if you know Jesus as Savior, that you forget all the sorrow you ever had down here. We have a lot to rejoice in. I'd like you to turn, please, to the book of 1 Peter. While you're turning here, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about what joy really truly is. First Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us together to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You think about that? You don't have to keep yourself. I could no more keep myself than I could save myself. Well, what if God told Noah, Noah, I'm going to send a big flood. Now I want you to build a great big raft. How would that have worked? Not very well, right? Build an ark that held everybody safe. God keeps us by his power. That ought to throw your heart. To an inheritance incorruptible. Keep going. Verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, for a little while, if need be, you're in heaviness or grieves by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perishes, will be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Christians are not supposed to be known by the length of our face. When you see a horse is not supposed to say, my, what a long face, right? That's not supposed to be it. We shouldn't have faces that are long enough where we can suck golf balls out of gopher holes. Not supposed to be that way. God isn't up in heaven saying, you're smiling, stop it. You're smiling too, stop it. Looks better now. God's not doing that. But in John 16, verse 33, he said, in me you have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have what? Overcome the world. There are challenges, but I have great news. The great news is that in Christ, we can have peace and joy, enduring peace and joy in the middle of our trials. And Christmas is a wonderful time to remember that. What's joy? Joy is an emotion that is evoked by the anticipation of something good. It can be likened to excitement, even This passage in James, we're told, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Literally, you're supposed to say, hail, welcome. A trial coming, that's great. Praise God, hey? Is that the sense you have when you have a trial? When you stub your toe in the dark? Does your wife ever move furniture on you? At night? When you stub your toe in the dark, do you say, praise God? We can do that only because we have faith in God. And we know that God will take all of our problems and work them out ultimately for our good. This morning in Sunday school class, I shared that when you read Romans 8:28, I said all things work out for good. You need to complete it. For them that love God, them who are called according to his purpose. For he did foreknow, he did predestinate, be conformed to the image of his son. God will use all these things in our life and work them together to bring good from it. I shared with them this morning that not everything tastes good that God allows in our path. I shared that I used to like to lick the bowl. We kids, we'd fight over who got to scrape out the bowl when mom would make a cake, which wasn't very often. She'd make these chocolate cakes. Oh, it was good. And we'd scrape it out. And that I got the bright idea. Since chocolate tastes so good, I saw the jar of Baker's chocolate. I took a great big spoonful of Baker's chocolate. You know what I found out? It didn't taste good at all. And I don't think raw eggs taste good, do you? Or raw flour? But you put them all together, and God can make them taste very, very good, right? Or you bakers make that taste very good. And God can take all the events of our life together and make them very, very good. Count it all joy. So what is it that can take away our joy? Well, the psalmist wrote in Psalm 52, verse 12, he says, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Excuse me, 51, verse 12. Occasionally, it's sin. If you're not walking with God, you're never going to be happy. But oftentimes, when we're going through a trial, we think, I must have sinned. I'm getting punished. That's not true. Jesus took the punishment for you on the cross. There's therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8, 1, right? Romans 5, 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. God's not angry at you. Why? God took out his anger on his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for you in full on the cross. Now, God may send chastening. The Bible says that when we're chastened, we should consider it joyful, wonderful, because no chastening is joyous, but grievous. But afterwards it works a peaceful fruit of repentance to those who are exercised thereby. In whom the Lord loveth, he chastens and scourges the son that he receives. God keeps us on a short leash. If any of you had kids, do you ever let your kids play out in the middle of the street? I was staying at my aunt's house down in Green Bay and they were repairing the streets. Ah, there's wonderful black stuff in the middle. It was great. There's black stuff in the middle of the street. And I got to get out in the street and play in the tar. I don't think my mom was very happy with my aunt when that happened, right? God will keep us on a short leash, but it's never to punish us. And we can rejoice even in the midst of trials, even if there's trials that were self-deserved, even if they're a self-made storm, we can rejoice in the middle of that trial. This season is a special time we should be rejoicing. I'd like to read you a few verses. So I could turn your Bible, please, to the book of Luke. I'd like you to look at the message of the angels. Luke chapter 2. You read this, beginning with verse 1. It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus and all the world should be registered. Luke chapter 2. Verse 1. This census first took place while Cyrenius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone in his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, of the city of Nazareth under Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of what? Great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the multitude, with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing, which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known this saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they who heard it marveled those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. This should be a time when our hearts are greatly filled with joy. We think of the great gift that God has given to us. We think how much God loved us. We think of our bright future. Should it not? It grieves me when I walk into stores and I don't hear any Christmas carols anymore. The secular world has forgotten why we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Christmas because God gave us the greatest gift of all. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15 says, thanks be to God for his what? Unspeakable gift, for his awesome gift. The gift is above all gifts. I can remember before of when I was, I guess I was in seminary, and my brother had married into a family that had kids. And they expected me to give great gifts to them, and I didn't have much money. And remember, I'd been shopping for gifts for them very reluctantly because I didn't have the money to shop. And I remember coming out of the store, and I had my arms loaded with gifts because I never use a basket, almost never use a basket. And this dear lady there, she looked at me and she said, well, honey, why don't you use my basket? I said, okay. And she looked at me and she said, you don't look very happy. And I said, no, I'm not. Well, how come? And I told her, I'm buying these gifts simply because I'm compelled to give these gifts. I don't want to give these gifts. Precious lady, precious black lady, she just once again reiterated to me what Christmas is all about. And when we give because what? We've been given unto, right? God has given us the most awesome gift of all, the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. And you know, we can give because it's been given to us, an absolute priceless gift, and we can love because we are loved. Now, why is the message of the angels a message of great joy? And why is the gift of God such an amazing gift? The message from the angels was a message of joy, for they said, for unto you was born the city of David. Personal, right? A Savior. The one who can take away all of your sin. Who is Christ the Lord. Identified who that Savior was. What was. And we're to rejoice. And we have a wonderful message we can share with a lost and dying world. With a world that does not have much hope. Why was this gift so awesome? Why is it indescribable? It's indescribable because of the tremendous need. We, you and I, need this gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. We need to have our sins paid for. We need to be forgiven. We are utterly, totally helpless. In the Bible, leprosy was used as a picture of sin. My wife used to work with leprous patients. She traveled for American Leprosy Mission for years. And it used to be there was no hope when you had leprosy. You couldn't be cured. And you had to separate yourself from everybody else. It was disgusting and ultimately resulted in your death. And sin does that. Sin takes you further than you want to go, holds you down for longer than you want to stay, and costs you more than you ever want to pay. Sin is awful. And the wage of sin is death, spiritual death, total separation from God for eternity in hell. And it destroys relationships. It's awful. And we cannot cure ourselves. The Bible says, you hath God quickened, made alive, we're dead in trespass and sin. Dead people can't help themselves, and that's where we were. But God, who is rich in mercy by his great love when she loved us, has quickened us together, made us alive in Christ, for by grace are you saved. The gift of God is indescribable, amazing, and we can rejoice in it because of the tremendous need. How much is a bottle of water worth? Or a glass? About $1, right? And that's about what it's worth to me, about $1. Any of you been really thirsty? Really, really thirsty? Do you ever go on a hike and realize that the container you had your water in had been an old soap container and you forgot to wash the cap out? And so your water was contaminated by detergent? Do you ever do that? I did that. And I hiked for miles and I went to get a drink of water and I realized I can't drink this. And I got thirsty. I was really tempted to drink out of the Lakes, Michigan when I finally got there. I was really thirsty. At that time, a drink of water would have meant a lot to me. What if I'd gone for 3 days without water? It would really mean a lot to me. This gift of God is so desperately needed by people without any hope otherwise that it's incredibly valuable. It's indescribable. It's awesome. We should rejoice in a wonderful gift. It's also an awesome gift because of its value. This reach, how far does God's gift reach? Everyone, even lowly shepherds. Lowly shepherds who are thought of very poorly. There's a lowest class in that society. The angels came to shepherds. This good news is for them too. God loves everybody. It doesn't matter how much you make. It doesn't matter what your background is. God loves everybody. God wants everybody to be saved. The Lord Jesus reached out to the ones who were shunned by others. Women of ill repute. Tax collectors. It's for everyone. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, it's propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but the sins of the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It's for everybody. You can find somebody in the alley, drunk. You can say, Jesus wants to save you. And you can find somebody in government in a high position. You can say, Jesus wants to save you. He loves you. It's for all who believe. It's valuable because of the scope. It's also valuable because of the personal cost. God gave the best he had, the Lord Jesus Christ. You guys, if you had a need, I'd try to help you with it. I hope if I saw you being threatened by something, a car or something about to hit you, that I would risk my life to save yours. But I'll tell you this, I never give my son's life for yours. That's what God did. That's love of God. That's the awesomeness of God's gift. Thinking about that, this awesome gift God has given, at this Christmas time, we should really, truly rejoice. Not in our circumstances. Things may be falling apart all around us. Personally, our health may be gone. Our finances may be gone. Our family may be falling apart. We can rejoice in God. In God. When we go through a trial, we may have some temporary heaviness. But ultimately, we can say welcome to the trials because God's going to work it together in our life with other things to make us more like the Lord Jesus, and he'll bring good from it. I lost my mom, my dad, and my sister each 6 weeks apart. I then lost my sister-in-law. I lost my brother. I lost my wife at age 54. So I should be really sad, right? No. No. I shouldn't be sad because, no, was I temporarily sad? Yep. Did I cry? Yes, I did. Okay. That song we sing, Rejoice in the Lord, I sang that at my wife's funeral. I could not see through the shadows ahead, so I turned and looked at my Savior instead. I bowed the will of the Master that day, and peace came and fears fled away. Yeah. Even in the middle of a trial, you can have peace. Why? Because of God. James chapter 5. Verse 10 is a verse that brought me great comfort. I'd like you to turn there, please. James chapter 5, verse 10. Of course, we already read that we should count it all joy when we fall in various trials. In James chapter 5, verse 10, read something interesting. It says this, "My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and what? Patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You've heard of the perseverance of Job and have seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." And the Authorized Version says of tender mercies. You know what it's saying there? It's saying you can rejoice in the middle of trial because you know that God hasn't changed. You can still trust God. You can still trust that God is good, and you can still hang on to his promises no matter what happens. That's huge. Everything else can fall apart. I've discovered that. I've been healthy all my life. And today I'm not, I guess. The doctor says I'm not healthy. She says my good cholesterol is too low and my bad cholesterol is too high and my overall cholesterol is just fine. Because of that, she wants me to take something gross. I don't know what it is. Oh, cod liver oil. And it's supposed to make my good cholesterol high. Do you ever hear of good and bad cholesterol? I didn't. I think she didn't like me because I was too joyful. I go in there and they call me smiley. And they said I have something growing in my throat. About that long. And they stuck a needle in me and they said, "Here, watch. Watch what we're going to do." And they stick a needle in and you get to watch them doing that. And then they jab it back and forth like this and they suck out part of it and they examine it and say it's good or it's bad. And you know what? Oh, well. I'm secure, not because I have good health. I'm secure, not because I have lots of money. I'm secure not because I have a wife who loves me. I don't. I'm secure because I have an awesome God. I can rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Nobody can take that from me. I am kept by the power of God. I can't even take it from me. If I mess up, God will keep me in a short leash. He may say, "Ted, you can't go out there and play in traffic and get in the tar." I don't want that to happen to you. And he might haul me back. And I can be like a stubborn, what's the word I should use? Youper? Dense sometimes. Somebody's got to ask to hit me with a sledgehammer to get my attention. But he loves me enough to do that. And he's going to keep me. And you. And no matter what happens, God is still there. And we can leave here this Christmas time and go in these stores and never hear the carols. Say, "Oh, that's awful." And it's all commercialized. You don't hear anything about the Lord Jesus. You don't hear anything that's joyful. And you may be thinking, "Oh, I got to buy a gift for this person, this person, this person, this person." But you know what? You can rejoice at Christmas time because God's given you the greatest gift of all. And no matter what happens, you can rejoice in God, your Savior. Mary, in Luke chapter 1, verse 47, she said, "I rejoice in God, my Savior." It's before Jesus was born. The shepherds, what did we just read? They returned glorifying and praising God. What did they do? They told everybody. When you tell somebody, does it make a difference what your attitude is? Yeah, it does. If I go to recommend somebody, say, "Yeah, I think you'll enjoy this restaurant. They have good food." They said it like that. Would you want to go? No. Say, "Boy, you got to go to this place. It's the most awesome food. They sell the best pasties without gravy. You don't need gravy or even ketchup on it. They're so good. And they have real genuine rutabagas in it. You'd want to go there, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you?" Your attitude means a lot. You know, there's an awful lot of good pagans out there. A lot of good people who don't do all the bad things we think of you're not supposed to do. But you know what they're missing? They're missing that relationship with Jesus Christ. They're missing that awesome fellowship they can have with the Lord Jesus. They're missing the joy of prayer, the joy of someone who watches over you and he really listens to your prayer requests and really answers your prayer requests. They're missing the joy of having sins forgiven, of having that weight of sin off their back. They're missing that. And we can go forth with great joy and they'll look at people, some people look at you and they'll say, "What's wrong with you?" Do you ever someone ask you that? What makes you tick? What's different about you? You say, "Well, I have the joy of the Lord. I know my sins are forgiven. I know I have a home in heaven. I know God's going to take care of me. I know He's going to take everything in my life that I think of today as painful and bad and work it out for my good. And I know somehow, someday, I'm going to be up there in heaven with Him. And I'll forget all the pain and suffering of this time down here. Yeah. People will notice your attitude. When I said, God's good, that kind of made the funeral director think, how are you doing? I just lost another family member. My next to last family member I can lose. I guess I could lose my son too. That'd be my last family member. But I still have God. Hey, and you do too. Angel said, fear not. Don't be afraid. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. You know, sometimes we share the gospel, all we talk about is a fear. You don't want to go to hell, do you? No. Well, better shape up. Better put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ the Savior, let Him change your life. How about sharing the joy? Rejoice in God, your Savior. Rejoice in the Lord again and say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men, the Lord's at hand. God is right there with you. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. And everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Stay focused on Him. Last passage I'm going to share with you. I'm not even going to read it because of time. Last part of Habakkuk. Here's what Habakkuk says. Though the vine casts its fruit, although there's no herd in the stalls, although basically I'm starving to death, I'm still going to rejoice in God, my Savior. What was Habakkuk's problem? Why was he struggling? He looked around him and saw the wickedness in the world. He said, Lord, if you're a good God, how can you let all this wickedness go on? Do you ever see wickedness going on that really bother you? Does that bother you? It bothers me. Doesn't God care? Yeah, He cares. God told Habakkuk, Habakkuk, I got a plan. I know you see all this wickedness in Israel right now, and it looks like I don't care, but I do. And you're going to keep on being wicked, and one day I'm going to send those fierce Babylonians, and they're going to womp and stump all over them and carry them off into captivity. Habakkuk was shocked. Lord, how can you? The Babylonians are worse than what Israel is. God said, don't worry, Habakkuk, I've got a plan. You know those Medes and Persians? I'm going to send the Medes and Persians to come and womp and stomp all over the Babylonians. And Habakkuk said, but Lord, they're worse yet. And finally he simply said this, God, I'm going to trust you. That's where God wants us to be. He wants to have such a sense of trust in Him that no matter what happens out there, we still have peace and joy right here. I will rejoice in God, my Savior. And everything give thanks as the will of God concerning you. Rejoice evermore. Even when you sin, rejoice that God has forgiven you. For what? The joy of the Lord is your strength.